talk today about this and about that, the salt and light. And I know that you have probably heard many sermons on salt and light, but you're going to hear it again today. We need it many times to remember just a little bit of it. So let us pray. Lord, we want to pray that you indeed open our eyes and our ears and our heart, Lord, to your word. We know, Lord, we need your presence here this morning, and we know that you are here with us, and we are gathering in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you promise that you are with us. And we just pray this morning, Lord, that you'll make your word alive to us, and that we can be the people that you want us to be. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to turn to Matthew 5. I will read from verse 13 to 16. And it says, I think it's up there, yeah. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. And then it goes on to say, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they can see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Now, you know, when I looked at this, I thought first of all, who was Jesus actually talking to? And I saw, when you go to the beginning there, that he's actually talking to his disciples. You know, and although there were a lot of people, that came and joined, he was actually talking to his disciples, and he says to them, you know, he starts by saying there, you are the salt of the earth, or in other words, you can make a difference in this earth. And if we think about it, you know, about the people that are sitting there, it's a few fishermen and tax collector. You know, it's not, you know, a gathering of the United Nations or a gathering of some, you know, superpowers or parliament or, you know, people that have, you know, a big influence. It is actually a small group of people sitting on the side of a hill in Palestine, and the creator of the universe says, you are the salt of the earth. And it's people there with may not have had high ambitions. They may not have, you know, they were actually in a country that was occupied and they couldn't determine their own future. And then Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. And salt, you know, especially in those days, was used to prevent decay. I mean, there wasn't a fridge. You can put all your stuff in the fridge. Salt was actually used for, you know, to prevent disintegration of foodstuffs and that. And I think Jesus probably looked at the society and saw corruption and so on, and said, you know, what this world needs is salt. And here are these few people that are going to be the salt of the earth. And now, has the world got better since the time of Jesus? And I don't think so. Actually, Scripture says that in Timothy, it says, evil men shall become worse and worse. And it actually goes on to say, people in the last days will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and it goes on, actually. And so that doesn't sound like it's getting better. I don't want to have this message that's like this cloud settling on us, but it is actually, I think, almost like a bit of a pipe dream that if you think the world is getting better, you know, you look at you know, what's happening in Europe, in the Ukraine, and you think, is this Europe? Can it happen in Europe? You know, and it's bad, and it's getting worse, and it needs salt. And that is where this, you know, comes in. But I want to just consider for a moment that we see a lot of the church. Is the church actually, the Christians, are they actually the salt of the earth? There seem to be, you know, many, you know, and I'm talking from experience here. Many of us sometimes feel very guilty and, you know, we're not doing enough, and we are just afraid to, you know, to stand up. And it almost looks like we are battling between two things here: our Christian walk and our other walk, you know, our work life and our in a school or university or whatever it is. And then, you know, we come together and it's all fine. We as Christians, we're together. And as we go out there, we have a battle. And I call that, you know, up there, the battle between the secular and the sacred. You know, that because Jesus didn't say, you know, you are the salt of the church. He said, you are the salt of the earth. And where is the earth? Where, you know, yes, I know this is also part of the earth, but there's a lot of earth out there where we find ourselves. So, you know, if we are not influencing the world around us, can we then really say we are the salt of the earth? So, you know, when Jesus prayed for us, he actually prayed for his disciples in John 17, in verse 15, he starts off by saying, he prays to the Father and he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, because he wants us to be in the world. But in the very next sentence he says, they are not of the world. You know, he actually says to the Father, this group of people here, the disciples, are not of the world. After having said, don't take them out of the world. And then one verse later, he says, you know, he says that actually, as you have sent me, I have sent them into the world. So he actually sends us into the world. And then later John, in 1 John, the Holy Spirit actually says to John, do not love the world or anything in the world. So I just want to kind of summarize it in not my own words, but use the words there. And it actually says, I want you in the world. So it's actually saying, I want you in the world, but not of the world. I have sent you to the world, but don't love the world. It seems like this, you know, you can almost say, no wonder there is this battle between this sacred and secular. Because he says, you don't be part of the world, but be in the world. And he wants us to be salt in the world. But if we want to be salt in the earth, then we need to understand, and we need to actually need to understand, how do we cope with this? How do we cope being in the world, but not of the world? And the Lord actually prays that we should be in the world. It may sound almost a bit strange when we hear that, but you know, he wants us to be the salt. There is no other salt that can preserve, that can prevent further decay. And I want to look just at an example in the scripture. And I there are probably many others, but I just very shortly at Daniel. You know, Daniel and his friends, they were in captivity in Babylon, and were there with in King Nebuchadnezzar's palace. And they actually, it says there that they actually mastered the Babylonian literature on astrology, and they also mastered other things there. So they were there in the world of Babylon, but it also says in scripture that they resolved not to defile themselves. Okay, so there's a lot of pagan things happening there, but they resolved not to defile themselves. And actually at that time there, the interpretation of dreams was regarded as a pagan thing. You know, now suddenly Daniel hears that these wise men that were called to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar couldn't do it, and that they were to be executed. And he prays to God and says, you know, help me to interpret the dream so that these people don't get executed. So God helps him to interpret the dream. And what impact? The impact that Daniel, you know, you look at this and say, Daniel, you're actually getting involved in things of the world almost, but they're resolved not to get defiled by the world. And it's, I think, just an excellent example of Daniel that we can take, that we can be the salt of the earth in our... I mean, they didn't have it easy there. They were asked to bow down to the king, and they refused to do it, and it didn't come with you know, with no consequences. But so Daniel and his friends were truly, you know, the salt of the earth. And if we really look at the earth, scripture says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So if we want to be the salt of the earth, then we have to engage with the earth. We have to, we cannot withdraw ourselves and say, no, we can't get involved here. If we want to be the salt here and there and everywhere, then we have to actually engage. We cannot disengage, otherwise we will not be the salt of the earth. Jesus engaged with fishermen, with tax collectors. He actually went into the home of the tax collector, and people said, look, you know, what is this? But he engaged, and he was the salt there, and look what happened to the man. Now, I would almost go as far as to say, well, not almost, I will go as far as to say, we must look out for every opportunity where we can engage to be the salt. You know, it's... it is important, you know, it is so important that our world has salt, and we are the salt. The Lord says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, before we go to the second half of that verse, which actually says, you know, that if salt loses its saltiness, how can it ever be made salty again? Before I want to look at that in a little bit of little bit of detail, I want to say this. Look at this. These seven words there. This, you are the salt of the earth, and the you that Jesus was talking to a group of people there. He wasn't saying, you know, Matthew, you are the salt of the earth. He was saying, you are the salt of the earth. So it is in a plural. You together can make a difference in the world. You know, it is not a grain, just one of these grains here that we put on, you know, in the soup, that it can make a difference. It won't make a difference. We go, you know, then it makes a difference. And we can even look here in this city of ours, you know, are we making, as Christians, are we making a difference in the Oronga region? Are we being the salt of the Erongo region? And in our nation, are we being the conscience of our nation? You know, we as Christians are the salt of Namibia. Here, Christians in Namibia, not only here, everywhere in Namibia, are the salt of Namibia. And that's it. There's no other salt. You know, the Lord says, you are the salt. And if we're going to make a difference, then we have to be the salt. But just looking at the second half, it says, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled. And it's not, Jesus isn't talking to some other people now. Jesus is still talking to that same group and is saying, basically saying, if you lose your saltiness, then you're no good for anything except to be trampled on and be thrown out. And this is where I want to become a little bit more engineering-like. And I said earlier to the people, I don't know if it's a man thing or if it's a engineer's thing or something. We always need pictures to explain, or formulas and graphs and so on. And I thought whether I, you know, should say this or not, but because, you know, what I'm going to go through just now, chemistry 101, you know, and 102 actually is two chemistry lessons. I don't know whether it's 100% scientifically correct. Okay, so I've got some chemical people here and doctors and so on. They might say, that's not correct, you know. And I was told earlier the people that I know some of you know this story, but that you know, you sometimes go down a route with an explanation with a nice picture, and then suddenly it loses its, ooh, I'm going down this route and I suddenly see the picture doesn't work anymore, you know, and then you kind of row backwards, you know, and say, oh. And this story that I heard some time ago, you know, it's like a guy leaving his work, and, you know, a lot of men do that. They go and they say, I just have one drink, you know. And he goes to browse, you know, on his own, and he sits there at the bar and just have one beer. And then suddenly somebody comes, sits next to him, doesn't know the person. And, you know, first you think, oh, should I talk to the guy or shouldn't I talk to the guy? And, you know, then you start talking. What do you say? You know, and the first thing you say is, oh, so what do you do? And now this should actually be told in Afrikaans. You know. That was easy in the first service. I told in Afrikaans. And the guy says, no, I'm a mathematician. And the guy, oh, what is a mathematician? You know, he asks the guy, what does a mathematician do? He says, no, he does sums. You know, so, okay, so what are sums? You know, he says, no, like formulas and sums. So the guy said, like, let me explain it very easily. If you've got 11, you know, and you subtract 7, then you've got 4 left. And when you subtract another 2, okay, another 6, you've got minus 2. Oh, this is, you know, I understand it. Okay, I understand. And then they started drinking. You know, and you go on and on. And 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. And so then he decided, oof, I wanted to be home at, I said to my wife, home at 8, and now it's 12. And so he goes home, and just as he wants to grab the door handle, the door pulls open like that, and you know, the suction of the air just pulls him into the house on the mat, on the welcome mat. And his wife says, asks him what the time is. You know, it's like, weet jy hoe laat is dit? So he's like surprised. Why does she ask me how late it is, you know? And where have you been?
Waar was jy?
This was the question that he asked at that time of the morning. And he says, no, I was at a mathematics lesson. And he goes, well, what do you know about mathematics? And now he thinks, oh, I must now use an example that I can explain, because I can't remember what was the sum. And he says, okay, I'll tell you what mathematics. He says, imagine a bus. There's a bus driving, and it stops, and 11 people climb onto the bus. And it goes, it drives on, and then 7 people climb off. Oops. I know how many people are on the bus. There's 4 people left on the bus. And then the bus drives on, and then 6 people climb off the bus. And then he thinks, he says, and then 2 people have got to go back onto the bus, so there's nobody on the bus. So, my example here, I hope I'm not going down a route and then somebody says something and I find myself also backpedaling. But salt, so chemistry 101. Salt, this table salt is actually formulas NaCl, sodium chloride. And the English only know why, sodium is Na. Everybody else calls it natrium and so on. One can understand the Na. But sodium chloride, if you put this into water, it actually, you've got sodium, Na, and Cl. It kind of dissolves. And, there you can see it. You see I put there the O, the little red and white is the H2O, the water, the two H's and the O, and then the Na and the Cl. Now, if we have a bucket of water, fresh water, and you put 1 grain of salt in there, and you stir it, you will probably not notice anything. You will drink the water and say, well, it hasn't really changed. And this is where I want to have this, that one way of us losing our saltiness is that if we, I'm on my own. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian, and this might be true, but, I can go out into the world, I can be this island, but if you're in this pool of water there, you will probably be diluted and nobody will actually notice you. So the you that Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, and is more than one. And we need each other. Jesus said actually, when he said, how will people know that you are my disciples? How will people know that? He says, by your love for one another. That's how people will know that you are my disciples. And in the same way, if you're on your own out there, you will lose your saltiness because the world will just engulf you. And it needs the next picture. Actually, that's what it must look like. We are, you see more of the CLs and the NAs there. Then the water is going to be salty. If we just put a grain of salt in there, it is together we can make a difference. If you go on your own, do not go on your own. We need one another. But now, this gets now chemistry 102. Okay? Gets a bit more complicated. And this, I was just thinking about can this actually get, is no longer salt? And this is what they call electrolysis. So if you put salt water in a bucket, and you have got this battery at the top there, and then one plate in there, other plate in there, and salt water conducts electricity, then actually something happens to that salt water. If electricity flows through it, And you've got these two plates there. The one is positive, the other one is negative. You actually see the chlorine goes to the positive and the sodium goes to the negative. And the chlorine, actually, little bubbles develop there, and the chlorine is a gas, disappears, you know, into the air. And actually the composition of the water, the salt, has changed. It's no longer salt. You know, you've got sodium hydroxide now in there. And it's no, you know, if you evaporate the water now, it's no longer NaCl in there. So why am I going to chemistry 102 now? I want to just make the example here that if we allow the electricity, another way of putting the influence of the world, things like where we say, you know, I know premarital sex is wrong, but it's 2014, it's no longer, you know, year zero. That is, I call it there, the electricity flowing, you're allowing this electricity to go through you. I know the Bible says I should not lie, but I allow these things to, it's, you lose your saltiness, you will no longer be salt. Skepticism, offense, you know, all of these things where I'm offended, I won't go anymore there, I won't talk to these people anymore, you lose your saltiness, and you will lose your chemical composition in terms of your salt of the earth. Now, we as Christians, we cannot be boring, and our function is to add flavor. We must add flavor to this earth. You know, we must add an excitement to the earth, actually. We are the salt of the earth, and if we lose our saltiness, there's no salt, you know, and that is it, you know, and it is actually, when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, it's almost like a instruction to his disciples. But let us go to the light and see, you know, how different the light is. Now, salt is something that, you know, even this water here, it's over here, I just looked just now and I saw there's sodium and chlorine in here as well. But, you know, when we put a lot of salt in here, if I put now salt in here and I, you know, dissolve it, you will probably, you won't notice when you look at it that it is salt water. You know, and the same way, if you put salt on meat and you rub it in, you don't really see the salt anymore. And it's in a way the salt part of our witness. You know, you say it might be like that as well. But the light part has to be visible. You know, light that is not visible, I mean, is not light. You know, on the one hand we have the salt, and on the other hand we have the light that, you know, you might say, oh, my faith is my private thing. But Jesus is saying it's not. Okay, in this verse he says, you know, neither do people, you know, put up a lamp and put it under a bowl. And he says, be the light. So I want to just look a little bit at some characteristics or qualities of light. And I'm not going to go into physical science 101. But I just want to look at light. You know, light, if I take this bulb, it's actually no use as it is here. It doesn't have any light unless it has an energy source to it. You know, then it gives light. In the same way, a candle, if you don't light the match and light the candle, it won't give off any light. So it's the same with us. You know, where is our energy source? Can't just say, I'm the light. Okay. Where's the energy source coming from? And I, you know, there are a few things, and Here's one of them. You know, the energy, time to spend in the Word so that you can be the light. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, a source of energy that will never run out. But the Word of God, and I think it's just something that I would really like to encourage, that you know, spend more time in the Word and go and read even short sections of Scripture and just try and really let it sink in. And I was just sharing earlier with the people that, you know, I have to drive to Windhoek, you know, every now and again. And, you know, I sit in the car on my own and I started trying to really remember Scripture, because it's something that I think a lot of us, you know, normal people, you know, struggle sometimes. Yes, people standing up here and saying, "Oh, Timothy, this and that," and you think, "Oh, I can't even remember, you know, where that is in the Scripture." But you know, when you look at some of the Scripture, and I've been trying to, I started it in the Psalms, you know, and trying to remember Psalms and actually to praise about short sections of a psalm, you know, and you talk through a little piece of a psalm, let's say Psalm 37, you have, you know, "Don't fret because of evil men, neither be thou afraid, you know, of those who do wrong." And then it says, "Commit your way unto the Lord, and you know, and He will give you the desires of your heart." And He will, you know, and those things. And actually, when you then say, "Okay, Lord, I will not fret because of evil men," and you expand on it and say, "Lord, I won't, you know, be distracted by that. And You, Lord, you know, You give me the desires of my heart." You know, and you can actually, the energy source that we get out of the Word, and as you talk to the Lord, you know, is that is a source of our light. And I think I want to stress again, the source of our brothers and sisters is a source of light. It's also, we can't do it on our own. Then light, you know, what is the purpose of light? You know, it's only got one purpose, and that is to get the darkness away. You know, it sounds very simple and simplistic, but you know, when you come into a room and it's dark, and you put on the light switch, why do you put on the light? You know, it's that you can see, the darkness goes away. And we're just actually talking, we were having coffee there, and you know, this, it actually gets bigger and bigger. If you think about it, if we are the light of the world, so if we are the light, then we are there to give light to other people. You know, to give light to people that do not have light. If we are the salt, we are preserving, we are there to be that which preserves, that there is not more decay. So the light has got one purpose, and that is to get out the darkness. And that is one of our purposes. Now, light has got no value if it's hidden. Because if you light a candle and put a bowl over it, it seems a bit silly, because it will probably die anyway, the light, and it will be dark. So a light needs to be put on a lampstand. And if we are the light, then we need to put our light on a lampstand so that people can see, that the darkness can go away. You know, how foolish it would be if we trim our lamp and we clip it and we fill it with oil and then we light it and then we put a bucket over it. And it's just, you know, it's similar to what I read, you know, as I was preparing. There was, I read something which says many Christians are like Arctic rivers. they are frozen at the mouth. You know, and that we, that when we are out there in the world, we don't say anything. We are not the light. We, you know, we like this river that is frozen at the mouth. You know, and think that we have to have an influence in this world out there. Now the last verse says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And that is the instruction. Let your light shine. It's simple. It's just let your light shine. So you need to look. You know, you need to look where you can not hide your testimony, but you can give your testimony. You know, because if you don't give your testimony, what does it say? You know, if we don't shine before men, that they can see our good deeds, they won't praise our Father in heaven. You know, so we are preventing praise from going to our Father in heaven. So there is one single reason why I think the most important reason why we should be the salt. And I said that is really salty, and the light that is on a lampstand, and that is that you and others may glorify our Father who is in heaven. We need to look for opportunities. We need to create opportunities. You know, we need to actually think about this. How are we the light? You know, when opportunities are not there, create those opportunities where you can be the salt. Create those opportunities where you can be the light, so that glory can go to our Father in heaven. You know, if I can just, you know, the message sometimes when you stand here and you think, you know, how did this actually get across? If I can just say, you can, you know, go from this place and remember these two things here and say, I want to look for opportunities. I want to create opportunities where I can be the salt and actually do what the Lord has, what the Lord has said on that hill there in Palestine, and still says to us. He doesn't say you ought to be the light. He says you are the light of the world. He doesn't say you ought to be the salt. He says you are the salt. And we need to be the salt and the light. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we, in our hearts, Lord, we have the desire to, Lord, really be the salt in those places where it's difficult, in those places where there is decay, Lord, we want to be the salt. Where there is darkness, Lord, we want to be the light. And we know that, Lord, we need a lot of lights and we need a lot of salt. Not in this world, Lord. And Father, I pray that indeed, Lord, this word that we looked at this morning, Lord, will become such a part of us, such a part of our life, that we will think about it, Lord, as we go to our work, as we go to the places, Lord, where there may not be a group of Christians together, Lord, but Father, we know that we've got the energy source, the Holy Spirit. We've got the energy source of our brothers praying, our sisters praying. Lord, we've got your word, and we thank you for it. Father, we pray that as we leave this place, that we can have the excitement of being the salt and being the light. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.